May I speak and may we hear in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Sacrifice gets a bad press. It's either old-fashioned, superstitious, it's something no longer necessary in our culture of instant gratification. It also sounds painful and self-denying, and perhaps even worse, something which might be good for us. This is often said by somebody who wants us to give up something. It's for your own good, they say. Sometimes we decide to offer that kind of sacrifice ourselves. The music department is sacrificing alcohol for the month of February in order to raise money for our appeal. They've chosen the shortest month in the year, in recognition perhaps that although it might be for their own good, there's only so much that one can do. You can find out how to support them on our website. Regardless of aims like that, sacrifice still gets a bad press. Yet for Christians, the concept of sacrifice is central to our understanding of how worship sustains and nourishes us. For throughout the scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures and in the New Testament, which is the stories of the early churches, sacrifice means worship. Worship, giving worth to God. How is giving the best animal to the priest worshiping God? What on earth is St. Paul going on about in advising the Roman Christians that their bodies are their sacrifice? And how does and how can the notion of sacrifice fit in for us with our 21st century lives? The answer to all three of these are linked, of course, because they're about giving worth to God. The firstborn is a term that's not just descriptive, but also figurative. The firstborn is the best, the one with the greatest honor, the one with the greatest value. To offer this prize, this honor, this value to another indicates something about the worth and value of the one to whom it's offered. The Hebrews brought what they had to God, the very best portion of it. It was offered, that's where the ritual is, and then it was used, mostly consumed. There was a developed understanding that in the consumption of the meat, or the oil, or the grain which had been offered to God, there was a communion between God and his people. That sacrifice brought the people near as was possible. So the sacrifice of worship came to understand that it was two-way. Human beings offered what they had, and then in sharing what was God's, were brought closer to God. So not just the firstborn of all the animals and the best grain, but also the firstborn, the best, the preeminent of the human family, also offered to God in service. And those who did so received in return. Sacrifice, worship, leads to blessing. That was for the ancient Hebrews, and as people of the faith grew an understanding of God, so too did they begin to understand this more clearly. The blessing was received through worship. Their sacrifice, then, was not for themselves, but for the whole community, and perhaps even more radically, for the nations among whom they lived. Particularly striking is the work of 8th century prophets and their commentary that the people had lost sight of that part of God's call on their lives, lost sight of the fact that they were blessed for a purpose which was not self-seeking, but self-giving, obedience, loyalty, service of others. Sacrifice alone may make an individual feel better, but the true proof of the effectiveness of that sacrifice is in changed lives. The true sacrifice of the people of God leads to blessing for the whole community. The place of sacrifice in the lives of the early Christians was widely debated. There were those who were Jewish and continued to be so, of course, for whom offering ritual sacrifice was how they worshipped. Others who came to faith in Christ from a different background weren't encouraged completely to take on those Jewish practices. Some said sacrifice was no longer necessary. After all, Jesus had offered himself once for all as a sacrifice for the whole world. He himself said that his task was to fulfill the law. So what could sacrifice mean for them? In spite of the more than 1900 years between us, this is the same question for us. What place does sacrifice have in our Christian discipleship? If we remember that for the Roman Christians and most other early churches, the big issues were what to do about food and circumcision. Did Christians need also to observe Jewish dietary laws and practice circumcision? Some asked, well, if they didn't do these things, how were they supposed to know who was truly in and who was out of the Christian community? Surely they needed to have some distinguishable features, some set of beliefs and practices on which they all agreed. Difference of opinion in the church is not a new phenomenon. St. Paul writes to the Romans that they may be asking the wrong question. The questions need not be about whether or not food sacrificed to God could be eaten by Gentiles, or whether food which hadn't been sacrificed to God could be eaten by Christians. Paul says the right question is, what is sacrifice? And in asking the question, also provides some of the answer. Sacrifice is the worship of God. Therefore, present not an animal or grain or oil, but yourselves, a living sacrifice, and that is acceptable to God. And as your mind is transformed, you will know what's good and acceptable and perfect. This is what sacrifice leads to, giving worth to God and coming to discern what's good and perfect and acceptable. And as our sacrifice brings us into closer fellowship with God, also, therefore, deeper service of others. It wasn't until the writings of Augustine that there was an articulation of the nature of sacrifice in the Christian church. He wrote this: true sacrifice is every act which is designed to unite us to God in holy fellowship. Every act designed to unite us to God in fellowship. And if you and I are united to God, then you and I are united to each other, and as St. Paul writes, members one of another. So although sacrifice has a bad press, perhaps we can reclaim sacrifice as an offering, giving worth to God, uniting us in the holy fellowship with God the Father, with our Lord Jesus Christ, and with each other. What might that mean to us and to the whole Church of God? True sacrifice, that is the offering of ourselves, makes us look outwards. In the Eucharist, we offer a sacrifice of thanks and praise for all that Jesus of Nazareth did and for what God in Christ is doing. In our singing and our reading of the scriptures, we offer our hearts and minds for transformation. In our fellowship and work with each other, we offer all our variety and our diversity. And we will know when it's all true sacrifice, when that sacrifice leads to changed lives and communities. We're raising money to repair this building, to make it more welcoming, and at the same time working together to become an even more welcoming community of believers, open at the edges and committed at the core, where everyone has a part, and each provides inspiration to another You might be inspired by the music staff sacrifice in February. You might be inspired to sponsor me for my abseiling down the tower in April. You may be inspired through your worship to voluntary service, deeper study of the Christian faith, involvement in politics. All of that which we offer to others shows that we are united with God in that holy fellowship, which is the blessing of our sacrifice. Could we then, just for a short time even, try and recover sacrifice as something not that's good for us and we grit our teeth, but remembering St. Augustine that true sacrifice is every act designed to unite us to God. It's not those things which we find tough which is the only sacrifice, but all of our lives offered to the service of God in others. And in our worship, we are nourished so that we can go out and serve others. If we throw ourselves forward to this week, which now is being given to us as a gift, what are those things that we could design to unite us to God? In our service of others, those with whom we live and work and share our leisure. Those times when our heart and mind can be transformed by our knowledge of the living God, as we form our opinions and take political action, as we allow our minds and hearts to be transformed by God speaking deep into them, so that we will change and become more after the manner of Jesus of Nazareth, whose sacrifice, of course, was for all of us. His sacrifice offered to God not just in his death, but of course in all of his life, in his acts of friendship and of service, in his acts of question and righteous indignation, in his acts of love for his friends and his family. All that was his sacrifice and worship. It's his example we follow. It's his life that we emulate. And of course, it's as the risen Christ that he prays with and for us as we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving so that it will be true sacrifice designed to unite us to God. Let us pray. Loving God, as we recall and thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus of Nazareth, so we pray you would strengthen all of those who serve their neighbors, those that do it in unseen ways, behind the scenes, through acts of common kindness. Strengthen all of those who are carers of another. May they have patience and hope and be able to see themselves united to you. Strengthen those who find service difficult. Give them courage to look outside themselves. And all that's offered in our work and in our prayer to your name, may we know ourselves, our hearts and our minds transformed as we offer ourselves to you in sacrifice and thanksgiving. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. So we pray for the needs of the world for peace. We pray for sacrificial hearts, for all of those whose decisions affect the lives of others, for those who exercise power and authority, for those responsible for welfare and relief of suffering to refugees. Give courage to the world's leaders to look beyond themselves and their own nation's concerns. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Lord God, we give you thanks for all of those whose vocation is service, medicine, and the caring professions. For those who care for us and for our loved ones. For those who work in our local hospitals. Please enable all of those whose responsibility is provision of health and healing in our community. Look outside and beyond themselves. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. We pray for God's blessing on our world, and all for whom we pray, and on one another as we say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen.
Hymn 430.
Passes all understanding. Keep Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.